God, we thank you for Lou. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've put in her heart, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus, that she's going to share your heart to ours. And we just declare that we will not harden our hearts to you today, Lord God, because you are loving Heavenly Father. And we just say that we'll choose to open our ears, open our minds, open our eyes to see and receive the message that you have for us, Lord God. And so, yeah, we just thank you, and we're just so excited to hear what you've shared with Lou already and that you want to impart to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Sally, for the introduction. I feel like, oh, I must have a nervous grin, because every day I wake up and think, thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. I think I'm... Yes, I have been privileged to be part of the Shofar family for the last 17 years, the first 7 in South Africa, and then the next 10, basically, since we've been in England. I grew up in Johannesburg, which is in the north of South Africa, and came over with my husband after we've been married just over a year. So we started our family year. We've got 3 kids. Finally, April, they were 3 over 3, which is a great accomplishment. We made it. They made it too, which is essential. But I'm just so aware of the desperate need for God that I have in my life daily. It's fantastic to be able to put my hand to the creative things that I enjoy and, you know, the giftings that He's blessed me with. But there's such an overwhelming awareness in my life that not one day can go past where I just surrender myself unto God and just thank Him that He is the Lord. He is my life. He is the one that has gone ahead of me and prepared the way, and that I can just try and walk and hold on and walk with Him. So the word that I'm sharing this morning, it's something very personal that God has been, I would say, been ministering to me over the last, say, 1.5 to 2 years. And, yeah, I just felt the Holy Spirit encouraging me to just come and share it to us as a congregation or as a Shofar family, yeah. And I want you to listen, you know, with both your ears, the one for a personal, you know, application, and the other one just for us as a church, for us as a body of believers. Because, yes, there's our part that we need to play as we make out, you know, part of the body of Christ. Now, there was 2 things that I realized is just coming up in my spirit the whole time. The one thing was, I just realized I'm just thirsting for the Word of God again. You know, obviously, I had my kids, and as you know how it goes, you know, life just happens, and then you like tend to the kids and take them to school and do this and do that, and then you're like, wow, why do I feel as if a truck hit me? Because I've actually stopped drinking of the living water, you know, and I don't even know when last. So there just became such an awareness of, I desire just to spend time in your word again. And I believe this is God's inspired word. I believe it's the truth. I believe it fulfills itself. I believe it, if God has spoken it, it will accomplish what God has set it out to accomplish, whether I can see it or not. So that I understand, but I realized in my day-to-day life, yeah, I'll paint you the other side of the picture that Sally didn't mention, but I completely lose my temper with my kids, or I am frustrated or angry at the world, or, you know, there's just stuff that I'm experiencing or things that's coming out that I know, oh, where did this come from? This is not from you, Lord. So I just realized I understand who God is, but there's like, am I actually taking hold of it and applying it and walking in it in my own life? So that's the one thing that started, like, just, you know, that I started thinking about. And then the second thing that I felt is just having such a desire just to know who we are in Christ, you know, where there's such benefit for us as children of God. I mean, it's incredible if you think we are heirs, you know, heirs to the Son of God, you know, and with Him, and our inheritance. It's as if our minds cannot understand it. But I actually just started yearning and just thinking, Lord, just it for me, I think I saw there's a place of peace as you just take your position up in Christ. And then from that place, just understand that it is you through me that enables, you know. So it's as if I felt there'll just come a release where all of us, you register fear for different reasons. You have a fear of failure, fear of rejection, a fear of, oh, nobody's going to come, or it's not going to work, or, maybe people are not going to like it. There's this constant battle of things that actually try to just withhold us from just living freely who we are in Christ. So those two things were just, occupying my mind and my heart for quite a few months. So the first thing that happened, I was on the verge to tell Pastor Yaku, listen, Yaku, can't we give the church a challenge and say, let's take our Bible and for 1 month, 30 minutes a day, we must read it. Not to be religious about it, but just let's give ourselves a challenge. And I just knew, we'll be different by the end of it because it's, it's the word just coming and just, we just bathing ourselves in the truth. And just as I was on the point of telling Yaku, let's just do something ourselves, I came across Joyce Meyer, the well-known Christian, authority. She had a project where she called it the 30-30. So in March, for 30 days, 30 minutes, you spend time in the Word. But what she challenged you with is really trust, just come and say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your Word. And I ask you to open my heart so that I can receive that one seed of truth that you have for me today. So I was like, okay, Yaku, let's just do this. We don't have to we don't have to think of something new. So I just jumped on that and just great. So it's as if I answered that, my desire just to start walking faithfully in just, reading, spending time in the Word. And then we, over Easter, we had such a privilege to visit friends of ours who live, they Norwegian. So they went back home. So obviously we're like, yes, we would love to come and visit. So our family went over to see them. And just before we went, somewhere random, I saw Beth Moore, all her titles. She's an American author and she writes lots of literature as well, just in Christian circles. And she said all her books are free on the Kindle app for today on Amazon. Now, I have heard so many good stories or just testimonies of people just being amazed or just so impacted by her Bible studies. I haven't read one book. I didn't even know what the titles, but I was like, free Beth Moore, yes, let's go. And I just downloaded. I didn't even know what I'm taking. I'm just like, yes, in my basket. And I just took it. And I didn't at that time know when I'm going to read it. I just knew, okay, great. It's there on the iPad for, maybe one day when my kids are out of the house when I can read it. And so we went off to Norway with an iPad in my bag. And the one day, it was gorgeous. They live in this coastal town. It's a very small fishing town. And it's just wilderness area around it. And the kids were just roaming outside. That's probably not so responsible, but I didn't even know where they are. They were just playing. Now, I grew up on a farm in South Africa. So for me, that is just the best, just if your mom doesn't even know where you are. So the kids were, away. And I actually sat there and realized, I've got nothing to do. I've got no one to look after, And I just thought to myself, this is it. Go and take your iPad out. And I just went and I started reading the title, Breaking Free. Didn't know what it's about. And I was like drinking it in. It was as if that book answered specifically that desire that I had in my heart of, Lord, but who are we in you? So I was just sitting there and thinking, this is amazing. This is, it's just so awesome. It's like having like a fresh drink or like an ice cold drink after you've had a tough journey or after you've played sport, and just that satisfaction you get from that first sip, I felt like that. I felt so refreshed. And while we were there, it's as if I saw this vision where I think I realized discouragement has entered into my heart just if I think of our church context. You are greeting people the whole time that going back to South Africa or moving on. And yes, I realized as individual, I was starting to think about, but what about, what's going to happen in a year's time or whatever? And you take your eyes off the Lord and you start getting distracted by your circumstance, and you're just like, I don't know. And, as I was sitting there, so now I'm reading this book. On the one hand, getting that satisfaction or that answer that I've been yearning for. And on the other hand, I had such a reality of, but what I'm actually experiencing if I think of, you know, our church in Weybridge or whatever. And it's as if the Lord just showed me, listen, the body of Christ, we are part of the armies with Jesus being the commander. And it's Braveheart. All of you have seen Braveheart. It was like a scene where they were just moving. And you could just see it's like, you know, loads and loads of soldiers in step coming past on foot and on their horseback. And I just realized, listen, wake up. You have to wake up. You know, you have all these things that you know in your head about God. But yeah, I'm like being, you know, choked by the worries of the world or whatever. And I realize I need to wake up and get in step because the armies of the Lord are marching. Whether we are 3 or 3,000, that's not the point. We're part of the body and we need to get with it. So I just knew, great. If I come back, I'm just going to say, ladies, who wants to join me? I specifically felt on my heart, I need to just rally the ladies. So more about that later. I think in our church context as well, what I just started realizing, two examples I used, the one of the children ministry year of Shine. I was starting to think, oh, you know, what about my kids? You know, are they going to be okay? And then I just, you just know when God is actually just revealing something to you. Whether you want to see it for what it is or not, you can't deny it. And it was so clear that I felt the Holy Spirit ask me, he actually told me, but what's your problem? Because it starts at home. The Shine is an extension, you know, the children's ministry that we have here at church or that they have at, you know, a summer camp or whatever. That is an extension of that impartation that starts with me and my husband at home. That's our responsibility. And I realized, oh, wow, I've started to like rack up lots of frustration. But meanwhile, I'm sitting like this, you know, at home and not doing anything about it. And we must guard our hearts, people, because you start thinking, you know, just funny things towards each other. And then it's got nothing to do with, you know, Shelly or Anami or whoever, Sally, you know, it's actually that same thing where I am passive in my life, you know, and where I actually have to just stand up and start walking in that authority which God has given me. So God actually asked me, you know, or just told me, listen, it starts at home. And there was such a just relief in that, like, yes, it starts at home, and wherever we go with our kids, where there's also children's ministry, that's an extension of what we already have in our households. And I really want to encourage you, whether you're a family living under your one roof or whether you're a house share or whatever, there's such power in that coming together in your household and really just make the most of it. Make the most of inviting God into your house and just being strengthened and filled before, you know, you go out and live your day, you know, wherever that may be. Now, a second thing that I realized, now our worship team, yeah, it's great having a band. Now, ours just all went away like at the end of last year. And the Lord really challenged me. The one day, I just felt him asking me, where I actually started playing the piano. Now, listen, I can't even read music. I just listen to the tune and then there I go. You know, I am having a broil time, but musicians out there probably want to go like this. But I just thought, well, I don't mind, because I realized another question that I just felt the Holy Spirit ask me is, but why do you go to church? So I was like, well, I go to worship. And then I felt just a question, but does it matter your contribution? Does it matter whether you know, part of the band or just part of the congregation? I'm like, no, it doesn't. And there has been such a freedom or such a release in just coming to worship God. I realized I clearly had like a little mind or a big mindset of what worship should look like. Now, I'll take you back to when I was like 15 years, when I was studying at the University of Stellenbosch, or we were part of the congregation. I can't remember if I was studying anymore. But you know, you realize, and I was reminded of times when you go and you're excited, and then you say, oh, no, so-and-so is leading worship today. And all of a sudden, you're just distracted, you know. Or then you come and then you're like, yes, you know, it's this person. I really love their voice. And I realized I'm actually missing it. I'm missing what, I mean, I can stand here and bang on the table and sing with the most horrendous voice. It comes from my heart. And God sees our hearts, you know, and there's such a release if you realize, listen, it doesn't matter if we're musicians in training here in the front, you know, if it's our heart that God just, you know, that blesses him. And So I want to encourage you, you know, I just realized, wow, I clearly had quite a picture of what worship looks like, whether it's now or how it must sound like. And I've been, you know, I actually missed the point. Now, don't hear me or don't misunderstand me. I mean, it's fantastic if you have all the lights and the fantastic musicians and everything. But the one thing that God asked me and what was exposed is motive. Why do you come? You know, why are you actually here this morning? And that was really an eye-opener for me personally, and a place where you realized, okay, let me think through all of this, and coming to the place where you realize, Lord, but I'm coming to meet with you, and I'm coming to worship you. That is my first and foremost motivation when I actually come together, whether it's on a Sunday celebration or whether it's in a home group context. My motivation why I'm here is to meet with you and to honor you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that's greater than any other, the name above all names. And just in a practical sense, if you ever like starting to register frustration, all of us are human, whether you're going to tell me or not, I know you do, and that's fine. The key is what you do with that frustration. Now, one thing that I realized, I told you, okay, great. It's one thing to think, oh, you know, something is not really working, but stop right there and take yourself one step back and investigate your own heart and just ask yourself, wow, what is my motive here? And time, it's with my husband, for instance, oh my hat. He is a very gracious man, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has given him a very big, gracious heart to put up with me. But it's every time when I'll think, oh, you know, in my heart, you know, I just wish he'll do this or that. Listen, if I'm honest and I actually allow myself to sit under the word, a word of the Lord, so every time the Lord will take me from where I think it's an issue with my husband, coming right back to myself, where I realize, wow, okay, yes, let me look at myself first, you know. And then usually when that is dealt with, you know, there is nothing, you know, then the matter is dealt with. So I want to encourage you, if you register like a frustration or just the agitation, great, often it's a need that you see, respond on it. But before you even jump in and respond on that need, just check your heart and check your motivation of your heart. Because if you go in pure, listen, you answering that need, it's going to go places. You're going to have a great impact. Where if you're not sure about your motivation, you know, your effort, you know, it will probably be difficult to carry it on, you know, because, you know, your heart is not in it. Okay, so a few reminders. Just, I want you to encourage you just to take your word. I mean, if we look at Colossians 1, verse 5 to 6, the word basically has the power to fulfill itself. So the whole time I felt God challenging me, saying, okay, but you can't be just a hearer anymore. How can you become a doer? Not to do lots of things, but how can I start applying and embracing and walking in the truth in my life? That's what I refer to if I, you know, think of doing. And the one scripture that really encouraged me was Colossians 1, verse 5 to 6, where it says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. And yeah, just understand that God's word fulfills itself. So I even started changing the way that I pray. Often you think, oh Lord, what must we do? What must we do? Two things I started realizing. Let's look at James 1 verse 21 before I go on. It says, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So there's two practical things that I realize. Wow, okay, Lord, I can, one thing, I can trust for that specific word, whether I need it in my own life or whether it's for a neighbor that I'm trusting it, because your word has got the power, it's got the seed of salvation in it. And what's the second thing that you could, I'm going to read it again, listen and think what the second thing is that we can pray for. So it says, okay, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So we can also pray that that person would humbly accept. Okay, so we can pray for hearts to soften. We can pray just for the person to see, wow, but this is that thing that I'm actually, this makes the puzzle fit, you know. So just encourage you, just in practice, if you're just praying for yourself or anything else, trust the Holy Spirit to give you that specific word that would speak right into that situation, because the word itself contains the seed of salvation. And secondly, just pray just for that humble acceptance of the word into that situation. Now, your minds, who of you, would you say your mind is generally in a peaceful state? Hands up. Great. And who would say your mind feels like, it feels like Grand Prix in here, you know, like 450,000 thoughts going, and then there's a few trying to come in as well. Yes, thank you for the honesty there in the back of the room. No, I tell you, my mind feels as if it wants to explode sometimes. It's just like ideas, frustrations, things to do, you know, kids, whatever. And I tell you, what does the word say? What does the word of God do to our minds? Or what must we focus on? Do we stay in that crazy state, or do we wash ourselves to just renew our minds with the truth, okay? So I want to encourage you, if there's something that you're lying awake for at night, usually there's one keyword theme that you can register, let's say fear. You know, I want to encourage you, take the word and go and study the scripture and read what God says about fear. What spirit has he given you? You know, what? Just study scripture around that topic. And in that, I trust that truth will start taking up the place which that lie, that thing that's not from God, has done. And that, listen, it doesn't work if you just decide, I'm just going to ignore it. You can't. That thing is still there. We physically need to renew our minds and do it and do it and continue doing it until you feel, wow, I'm actually thinking differently about this thing. Okay, so that's just another practical just thing that you can do, is just if you realize or even trust. I'm hearing it now again. There's quite a, I've got two kids that's in school already. The oldest is finishing year one now, and then the second one just finished she's finishing reception. But there's quite a few people that I met that, you know, they're sending their children for the first time, and I can remember, oh my word, you know, you actually want to worry about it, you know, and this is your poor little child, or, you know, whoa, are you, blah, blah, blah. I realized it's a trust in God. I realized I was actually not entrusting my kids in God's hands, understanding that, Lord, you are their shield, you know. And I tell you, there was such peace that entered in when I realized, okay, and I mean, yeah, it's like anything there. The school can always improve. You know, I can do more at home or whatever. But there was, I realized in my heart, I didn't trust God with them. So that was, okay, you know, go and read the words about God telling him he's our protection. He's the one that goes ahead of us, you know. And I could find my peace in that place. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, I actually started realizing... I still laugh at your introduction. It's so beautiful, but it feels like here's the real me. No. So two things I realized was I would register frustration towards certain things. And then I noticed this pattern, and it just was quite sad for me, but praise God that he opens my eyes to see it. But I was like, oh my word, how could you have missed it? Now, usually it goes something like this. You, like, let's use the kids ministry again. I would think, oh, shepherd man, I'm getting frustrated about this thing. Or it's like, are they okay that it's the same kids every week, or they have to look into my face again, or whatever, you know, and there's this frustration. But rather than acting upon that, I would just go and sit, fold my hands, and I get a bit more frustrated, you know. So you grow in that frustration until you're at a complete passive state with no peace, you know. And it's the same with different things. For instance, oh wow, you know, I've not managed to see my friends lately, so I don't pick up my phone and call them or send them a message. I just grow in my frustration of, wow, I really need some fellowship, you know, but I don't do anything. I just go and sit, fold my hands, and grow in my frustration, and I again, it just leads to that point of passiveness. So that is the one big thing that I realized. Okay, I'm doing this. And another question that I just felt was a very practical one that I was asked by, I feel the Holy Spirit, and then I'm like, this is quite good that I can just ask other people as well, just to help you in a sense, just to get perspective, is often, you know, I would go to Johan, my husband, and say, oh, man, I'm so frustrated about this, you know, and go on or whatever, and then I just felt the Lord ask me, but have you actually spoken to me or spoken to the relevant person about this? And I'm like, no, but not really. And that's another just key. Ask yourself, are there any areas of frustration that you're registering where you know, you're quick to talk about it, but, you know, because you maybe really have a real concern. But just ask yourself, just stop there. Have you actually prayed into this? Because then it's actually a need. Where often if you're like, no, I haven't, then you realize, wow, I'm actually just in a place of slandering or whatever, you know. Then your motivation is not really to see that change, you know. So that's a very practical way just to show yourself, listen, where are you at? Just so that you can come in line again if you need to. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you, if there's anything where you might register frustration, just take that step back again and ask yourself, one, Lord, have I actually just, you know, unburdened in your presence? Have I just laid it at your feet? Have I prayed about it? And then, the Holy Spirit is faithful. Just trust him, you know, prepare that meeting if I need to go and speak to Yaku or whatever, you know. And then if he's the relevant person, I tell you, there will be fruit from that, you know. So don't allow yourself to wallow in that thing, because you become passive and it actually blinds us. We get blind. We blinded for the truth. We blinded just for reality around us. We blinded just for the need around us. It's not, it doesn't lead to life. Okay. Now, it was interesting. One morning, just the last example of frustration, for instance, we live in Weybridge, there close to between Brooklands Museum and the train station, and our church is on your way to Walton. So we've got about a 10-minute drive, and we were in the car, and I was just thinking again, where are the people going to come from? And it's as if, I was just like, in a sense, thinking it like that, probably a bit sarcastic or something, but it's as if my eyes just opened to see every house and business that we passed literally on that 10-minute journey. And again, I was like, oh, yes, you know, I can see where they can come from. They are in London. Listen, you don't have to look for people. We are surrounded, you know, and I just want to encourage you. I was like, wow, okay, I'm actually just going to start praying for the households, for the people that we pass literally on our journey to church, you know, and thank you, Lord, that I know that you're the one that leads, you know, you're the one that draws them. You know, it's as if we want to get a responsibility attack. It's not necessary, because we're trying to play God. We're not God. Just be clear on that, you know, but we are partners with him, and there's such a peace and a place of authority that we can take in as we just think, okay, Lord, I see the need, and yes, I'm starting to pray, you know, for that humble acceptance of the word that I'm also trusting you with. Okay, now back at the Bible study, Bethmore, sorry, I'm jumping a bit. I told you my mind is a bit like a Grand Prix inside, but bear with me. So, coming back from Norway, after I read the Breaking Free book, I just knew, listen, I must rally the ladies. And the one specific thing that I felt, the purpose of the coming together is just to get people to wake up, to stand up, and to daily surrender yourselves. Just where you are, whether you're a mom, whether you're a high flyer at a job, whether you don't have a job, whether you're 80 years old, it doesn't really matter. If you're a lady, I felt I need to encourage you, and just for yourself in your context, to daily surrender yourself, you know, in the presence of God. And I just sent out an email, and I really felt, you know, it must go like this. I mustn't say, listen, peeps, let's first talk about this. I just sent out an email saying, listen, I read this book. This is where I'm coming from. We're starting in a week. Are you in or out? So a week later, or say after 2 weeks, we were 25 women. Okay, and praise God, it's such a testimony. Listen, I sent out a message. I did, you know, it wasn't my effort. I'm so aware that, yes, I felt, okay, great, send out the invitation, and I did that. And I just stand amazed at God, how He brought the ladies that He just wanted to be part of this group, you know, at this stage. And I give Him all the glory for that. But now, two things were very interesting. Same response for all. Two things. Oh, you know, it sounds amazing, but I don't have time. And the other thing is, oh, it sounds great, but I don't need it. You know, now, I really had to control myself and step back into the Proverbs 31 role. No, and just like, oh, that's great, but why don't you still come? Because I was like, what? Are you serious? I mean, I had such a revelation. From my own life, I mean, it was rough when I had my three kids under three. And I slacked with my relationship with God. That didn't even become second fiddle. That was no fiddle for a time, you know, because you're just like, you know, I have to cope, I have to feed, I have to do everything with the kids, you know. And that's reality, you know. Life is busy sometimes. But I realized, listen, you can't not tap into the source of life. That life, which I think I'm just managing and, you know, just, okay, it's just a season. It's actually not life if God isn't part of it, you know. And that was a significant revelation for myself. And what I love is the one thing, it's irrelevant your context. It's irrelevant whether you have no kids or 10 kids. It's irrelevant whether you are a CEO of the biggest, you know, company internationally. It's irrelevant whether you... your age, there's one thing that brings all of us on exactly the same level, and it's that desperate need for God in our life. And praise God that each one of us in our context can come as we are. You don't have to pretend. You don't have to first lose your bad habit. You don't first have to know the whole word. You can come as you are because it's Christ that's made a way for us to, you know, through His blood, to enter into the presence of God. We must simply, humbly surrender ourselves daily and accept that free gift that He's made available for us. And I have been experiencing just such a freedom. You know that where I said my heart is really, Lord, just to understand who we are. And I can sense, you know, I've just stepped into that, I know I'm going to walk for the rest of my life and grow in my relationship of God. Only the day that we face to face with God, we're going to come to completion. We're going to, you know, we're going to reach that. Okay, great. That's now who you are in Christ. But it's so awesome to know my entire life. I'm not going to come to a point where I feel, oh, you know, I'm actually over it because I know it all. Or, you know, I'm so complete now that, I don't know, I'm a bit bored. No. It's God is so big and so amazing that the rest of our life, even daily, if we just surrender and like walk with Him, we are just going to grow and grow and grow in Him. You can't reach that point of, you know, saturation with Him, you know, because that's awesome for me about it, because that's like you can daily come and you know, you're going to just be at a place where you just, Lord, I, you know, you just don't cease to amaze me. I am overwhelmed by who you are. So two things I felt I want to encourage the people with is just that, great, we did a 10-week Bible study now, but it's not even about the Bible study. It's that daily surrendering. And, you know, sometimes it will be something different that we encourage each other in. But that also, that's just secondary. Now, during this course, it's lovely. That I can really recommend it. I mean, it's usually you listen one audio session, and then there's 5 days of self-study that you have to do, and then one day free, and then you come back as group. And the Beth Moore, just used such a good example the one day. She had lots of people writing in, obviously after they've been busy with this. And the one, she didn't mention a name, but the one lady, think, you know, came back and said, you know what, Beth, this idea of quiet time, you know, it's great and everything, but I've come to the conclusion where you can actually walk around or take a walk on the beach and enjoy the sunset, and that's the same, you know, or you can just sit on your veranda and, like, just, you know, experience nature, and that's fine, you know, that can take the place of quiet time. And Beth said she was thinking a bit, and, you know, that's great. We're obviously not religious robots that, like, you have to do it like this. But she just explained the principle like this. Now, they've got a ranch in Texas, and there's, I'm not even going to try to speak like American because you actually want to laugh. But they've got a ranch in Texas and lots of rattlesnakes. And she said that one day her husband comes home and he hands her a little gun, or like a gun. I think you hold it, you know, the one that rests on your shoulder. Because he said, listen, love, you must practice to use this thing. For if you go and walk on your own, so that if you come across a snake, that you can just take it, you know, that you can take it out. And she's like, okay, whatever. So they go and she practices to shoot. And she's like, oh, you know. And he's like, no, man, pull yourself together. Out of everything I know, you are not a wimp. So you're going to learn how to use this thing. And then if you're out there, you know, you sort it. So great, she pulls herself together and she acquaints herself with a gun. And so now, every time if she goes for a walk, she's got one, or, you know, she puts one or two bullets in her pocket and then she walks with her gun. And she said she moved from that place where she was first thinking, like, oh, you know, this thing is hurting my shoulder, to a place where she's got such an understanding of the use of this gun of hers and the fact that it's actually keeping her safe. She says she can't wait to meet the snake, you know, because she just wants to blow its head off, you know. And that is the example that she used for why we can't replace filling ourselves up with the living word, with the truth, versus a sunset. What does the word say in Luke? Where is my scripture? Where Christ gets tempted in the wilderness. So it says Satan tempts him 3 different ways, and then he goes away and waits for the next opportune time. So what do you see? He doesn't leave us when he's failed this time. He sits and he waits for that opportune time where he can come and try and steal your faith. Now, we can't come and say, yes, the sunset of this morning. No, that's going to be useless. No, but think about it. We live like that. We think, you know, I had an experience. Listen, that means it's great that you had an experience, but it's irrelevant. We can only come with the truth against that lie or that onslaught of the enemy to effectively put it in its place. So I want to encourage you. I know all of our context is different, but yes, if there's one thing that you must remember today is that daily surrender and start your day. It doesn't help you jump on the M25 and, you know, you must dodge the cars the whole day, and then at the end you're like, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm coming to you now. I mean, you could be like mincemeat 20 times over before you get to the night. You have to start in the morning, or, you know, decide for yourself. But I want to strongly encourage you, you know, it's that as you start your day, and I can tell you there's a massive difference. For me, my context doesn't change. I mean, I still feel I've got kids flinging food at me or whatever, you know, having to take the kids out of each other's hair or whatever. But there is just a complete different perspective and response from my side. Okay? Where I tell you sometimes it's there. I even feel embarrassed to say it, but we've got a dear little lady that lives next to us, but she's a recluse. So literally in the 5 years that we've been living there, I've seen her 3 times, like just peeking out of her door in the back garden. She We don't see a lot. But I have lost my temper so much with the kids. I thought, oh, I think even this lady will come and knock on my door now and see if everything's okay. You know? So please, it doesn't help. It doesn't work if we try and do it in our own strength. You may be able to maintain, and you come to that point, and then it's just nuclear explosion. It's not good. Now, what does Psalm 145, verse 18 says? It says, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call Him in truth. Now, I want to encourage you. Our context, how we grew up, where we grew up, what school we went to, you know, our culture, all those things add to what our experience or our understanding of life is. Okay, that's just normal. That's just what creates it. But if we take our context and we let's think of an example. My dad passed away 20 years ago, and it was completely it was a surprise. And just in that, and I never had like a body image. I was happy with who I am, how I look, you know, no problem. And then my dad passed away, and clearly it was just like in that trauma that I experienced, there was just a lie that entered in. I started having these crazy thoughts, and I actually became bulimic. And And it was so crazy, that lie that I believed. You know, I would eat the apple and I would feel I'm having a meltdown because, you know, an apple, clearly I must have added like 3 kgs now, you know, only in this one effort. It became completely crazy, you know, and out of hand, you know, just this power of this lie. So it is essential for us, whatever we face with, our context plus the lie, it just keeps us in a place of bondage. You cannot walk in freedom just through your own effort. The only way that we have that complete liberty and freedom which we are, you know, that we have in Christ, is to take our context or whatever that lie is that you are sensing, and to add God's truth, and to keep adding God's truth into that equation until you can just feel, yes, there's that release. So I want to encourage you. The scripture that I referred to earlier was Luke 4, verse 13, where it says, okay, Christ was tempted in the desert, and then Satan left him until the next opportune time. Now, for me, for instance, I knew his opportune time in my life is usually when I was low, or just in terms, when you're just exhausted, man, or when you're tired. I would usually start thinking, oh, you know, my weight is out of hand. And I knew this, so I actually told my husband, you know, lovey, I'm fine, I'm not doing it anymore, because I went to F3 like ages ago, and I believe God changed it, but it was, you could see my mind wasn't renewed. And I did mention my husband is gracious for, you know, putting up with me, but it was so challenging. Like, we'll go somewhere, and then I'm like, oh, I feel like eating a steak, and then he'll just like, what about a salad? And I'm like, don't do that. You know, and it was just his way of trying to protect me, which was great and honorable, and I'm really thankful. But it's, you know, it's you must understand there's times in your life where you actually, it's an opportune time for that lie to enter in. And just know what those, you have to identify that. For me, it was obvious. I knew it will come and it will attack my physical identity. Even though I knew it was crazy, but that is the opportunity that he would try to access. So I want to encourage you, just sit this afternoon, or even now, just write it down. If you are aware of that opportune time in your life that usually just gives the door, you know, for Satan to, for his lie to come in. And in that time, I tell you, it's with such authority and with just a confidence that you can just say no. You know, and just stand in, and just stand with the truth against that thing, and say, "Sorry, I'm not giving you this ground anymore." And it's incredible. Now I actually have to go and think back, and I really believe it was like just the Holy Spirit reminded me of a few examples, because it's been so far removed from my mind. You know, because it was, I walked the full process. So I want to, and don't get me wrong, when it was like at the height of its grip in my life, I was at a place where I just couldn't see. I couldn't even see a tunnel, never mind the light at the end of a tunnel. You know, it was, there was such a desperate, like the you were just like, okay, I must probably make peace that I'm always going to like have a semi, you know, meltdown when I just look at food, never mind even let it pass over my lips. So it's really shocking how absurd your understanding can become to the most basic things, and it's not from the Lord. So just go and ask yourself, one, am I experiencing something like that? And just start apply, you know, pick up your Bible and start searching scripture for the truth that come and counters that thing. And continue to study it and just embracing it until you'll come to that place. The scripture, it will accomplish what God has set it out to accomplish. It cannot not fulfill itself. And focus on that. Let that be the thing that encourages you. And as I mentioned earlier, just ask yourself or remind yourself, you can come as you are, like you are now, here and now. I don't care what you did yesterday or what you didn't do. As we come, just with that, if our motivation is, Lord, I am coming and I am humbling, surrendering myself unto you. You know, and I am honest if I need to repent of whatever, you know, just come. Because I realized in my own life, you know, you stop coming because you feel, oh, you know, I must first fix this, or what are the people going to say if they know? It's irrelevant. It's not between them. It's between you and God, your source of life. Obviously, we have to be wise in our relationships towards each other. But you know, but if you think bottom line, life is about relationship, first and foremost between you and your Maker, and then with those around you. That is the bottom line. And sometimes, even if you feel like, I had a lady, she was so concerned about, but what about the lost out there? I'm like, great, we'll get there. But you have to be in a place where you know who God is. And, you know, you will effectively go out then and step into that place of ministry to the lost. But it's as if it's dual. We have to keep ourselves strong as we go. Otherwise, somewhere the wheels are going to come off. Now, just a few things that I just want to first of all, just Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 16. I just love that. How can we enter in? For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I want to read that again. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, who is Jesus, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And another scripture just to add on to that, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, where it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide you with a way out so that you can stand up under it. Okay, and I just write down those two scriptures, Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 16, and 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. And just ask yourself, did you also reach a point like me where you just think, man, there's no hope. I cannot see breakthrough in this thing. You know, and stop looking at that thing and go and take these two scriptures and look at them for a very long time. And it becomes a conviction that, you know, Lord, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that you weren't tempted with. And, you know, in you, through you, I'm able to withstand this thing. Okay? And I love it. It's actually overwhelming, just God's heart for us. The fact that, if you look at Israel and look at the Old Testament, and if you look at your own life, his mercy, his forgiveness, it's there, you know, and he... just take it. The interesting thing, as I mentioned with the Bible study, so that what was the two responses? The two responses were like, oh, I don't have time, or oh, I don't need it. Now, I just smiled and said, don't worry, you're still welcome. So the people came, and it was amazing. It worked for myself like that. But all of us, like the first bit, you actually had to decide, great, let me go and do this thing now, you know, because I've decided to do this study. But it wasn't long where there came a shift where it was like, oh, my desire is just to go and do this thing now. Okay, and I had to smile, you know, because it was over a time of a few weeks where all of us started at like, I don't have time, I don't need it. Where you came to like, oh, I need it, you know, I desire it, and I understand why, you know. And there's such a, and not, the beauty of the truth is, and the promises that God gives us, if we walk faithfully in His Word, in His ways, it's generations to come that He blesses. And often people get confused because there's a scripture where it says, but if you don't walk in His ways, it's four generations after you that's pretty much in trouble, you know. But it says thousands after you are blessed when you walk in His way. So don't, you know, look at it. No, people get discouraged because they think, oh, what type of God is this? How can you like, you know, want to like give this burden to four generations? You know, be motivated by the thousands after you if you do the right thing, if you walk in His ways, if you walk humbly with your God. Okay? So yes, there is consequence. That is life. And therefore, choose wisely. You know, and pray. Know that you've got that authority. Like, here we draw the line if you have to step out of that place of being one of the four generations. But look at the fact that it's the thousands after you that will carry His blessing. His blessing and His heart of redemption is much greater, you know. And everything that He does is to bring you back to that place of accepting that the life that we have in Him. Now, something that I really enjoyed about the study is there was just five benefits that she lifted out that we actually have as believers that we can enjoy daily. Now, it's not this quick rich scheme, you know, like quick fix pyramid scheme from the fall triangle if you're from South Africa usually. But it's just incredible to see them as five promises that God give us, which is for us to enjoy. Now, the first one, which is the crucial one to start with, is there's a place of us to know God and to believe that He is God. Okay, and the scripture reference that she just gives with it is Isaiah 43, verse 10 to 11. And it says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior." So this is the crucial one to start with. We have to know that God is God, and we have to, it's Isaiah 43, verse 10 and 11. I do apologize for not having slides. I completely forgot about it. But we can come as we are, right? So just, it's essential for us to know, Lord, even though this is not making sense for me, I know that I know that I know that You are God, that You are faithful, that Your Word is truth, that You cannot change, that You are the healer, that You are the provider, that whatever context you are, you know, experiencing God in. If we don't start there, it's not going to work. You have to understand that, Lord, Your ways are higher, therefore I keep myself in Your ways. Whether I like it or not, whether it was my suggestion or not, that's not the point, because You are God and there is no other. Now, a second thing that she just mentioned is a benefit that we have is that we can actually glorify God. And just think of it. Often you hear people like, oh, what is my purpose? You know, great questions to ask. What's my purpose? Why am I here? But if you again strip that back to the most primary purpose that we have, it's actually we've been created to glorify God, to be a carrier of His Holy Spirit so that His glory can shine through us. Okay, it's actually not about us. That's quite a liberating thought sometimes because your life, we tend to make everything about us, you know, and we have it the wrong side, you know, it's about glorifying God and find your peace in that as you're searching. As you're asking those questions, Lord, what do you want to put my hand on? You know, where must I apply myself? Just while you know, in that conversation, just glorify Him, you know, in the meantime. And I love it how often when I'm just in it just to glorify Him or just to be in His presence, often you walk from that place with greater understanding than when I come with my, okay, now I want to know this and this, you know, and I want to know it now. No, we must learn to grow just in our relationship with the Lord. And as we walk, as we glorify Him, as we just keep our faith like protected, that I know that you are, whether I feel it or not, that discernment through the Holy Spirit comes. Now, a third thing, which I actually found quite challenging, is she says there's actually complete satisfaction in God to daily enjoy. And I actually realized, remember when I spoke earlier about the motive, I think I actually realized, wow, I think I'm actually registering or measuring my satisfaction just in a natural sense, like in a physical sense, in the here and now. And I'm really challenged in this, on this behalf, just to say, Lord, one, thank you that I actually can realize I'm not at a place where I'm registering that satisfaction in you, you know, in my spirit, where I realize I'm measuring it and, you know, I think I'm satisfied, but it's in a natural physical context. So there's, you know, and I just started walking and think, yes, Lord, thank you that I can have that expectation to grow in my satisfaction in you. Now, fourth one that she tells us, there's that we can experience daily, is experiencing God's peace. Now, quickly jot down 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16. It says the following, now may the Lord of peace Himself grant you peace at all times, in all ways, under all circumstances and condition, whatever comes. Now, who's challenged by that? Let me read it again. Now may the Lord of peace Himself grant you His peace at all times and in all ways, under all circumstances and condition, whatever comes. The Lord be with you all. I'm challenged by it. I don't register peace the whole time. But what my eyes was open to see, Lord, you have a promise for us here that in everything, at all times, your peace is there. And again, it's that perspective change. What happens when the disciples are in the boat and the storm comes up and they freak out when they see Jesus coming? What does He do first? Does He calm the storm or does He speak His word of peace into the situation? Anyone? Yes. He comes and He comes in the storm and He speaks His word of peace. And that was another eye-opener for me. Listen, I am so enjoying just studying the word. And you like read stuff and like, how did I not see it like this before? And it was just such an encouragement where I think we want to stop the storm, you know, or change the circumstance or make this go away. And yeah, I just started realizing, wow, He's peace. There's a promise that gives us His peace in every situation, and Christ is the Prince of Peace. So again, it's us in Him for everything. Listen, I am grateful for that, and that's another practical way where I'm like, Lord, teach me in this, because I am definitely not registering peace in everything. And then a final thing that she mentions is enjoying God's presence. And I want to encourage you, remember when coming back to the thought of quiet time, and we're great if you look at a sunset, but just have that expectation, even if you just open your eyes in the morning. I mean, thank God for the new day. It's a gift. And thank you, you know, just for the opportunity that you have to go out and to live. And just thank Him. Thank you, Lord, that I can expect to sense Your presence wherever I go. I don't have to be in my inner room or in my church or in, you know, some quiet place undisrupted. Whether it's my workplace, whether it's school, whether it's home, Your presence is there for me to enjoy. Okay, now His presence, literally, we can choose it. We must accept it as a fact. His presence can continually be with us. You know, it is with us. So just, in a sense, deal with it and just embrace it as a fact. You know, and start. I trust that will just stir your expectation. Now, for every benefit, I'm nearly done. There's one last thing that I want to look at. Are you still with me? Now, for every benefit, remember, what does Satan, what did he do when he went to the, when he was in the wilderness with Christ? What does it say? When he realized, okay, shucks, these three schemes didn't work, what does he go and do? He goes away and waits for an opportune time. Okay, so for all these five benefits that I've mentioned, so to know and to believe God, to glorify God, to satisfy God, to have His peace, and to enjoy His presence, for each one of them, it's as if there's a counter. There's something that wants to come and withhold you from actually just embracing that. Now, to know God and to believe God, the thing that, what do you think comes against that? One thing. Yes, but in what form? Yes, but like, what happens in your mind? If the promise is, okay, to know God and to believe He is God, what do you think is the way that He'll try and enter in? Yeah, unbelief. Okay, so you will literally, yes, you'll just think like, often people like, do God still heal today? You know, is He the healer? I don't know. Listen, God doesn't heal every time, but I know He is the healer, you know, and we need to like focus on that and, you know, rejoice in that. And then as the Holy Spirit leads, great, I believe His healing will flow. But I'm not panicking if I pray for you now and you don't get healed, because I can just extend my faith with you and I know God is God and I know He's the healer. Okay, so we have to protect our hearts for unbelief of like, but He didn't heal now, you know. And then the next time, it's as if you, that bit of unbelief have crept in. And now when you pray, but you're actually like, isn't there someone else that can come and pray? Because, you know, I'm actually not even sure if He heals myself. Guard your hearts against unbelief. It's a reality. And don't beat yourself over the head if you realize, oh, shucks, I'm actually not understanding God as the provider or as whatever. I'm just every time, thank you that my eyes are opening to see this. And thank you that I have time to respond and to reason with you and to walk with you so that you can show yourself to me. Okay, and the one thing that's interesting, referring back to the Bible study, what was the motivation? What was the purpose of it? I said I knew I must get the ladies to do what? Must they read their Bible daily or must they surrender daily? Surrender daily. That was the focus. And I'm still sitting with my hands in my hair with some. And I've been there myself. You, for instance, remember that frustration principle that I also explained. I, when my kids were younger and we had intercession at a certain time, I just couldn't go. And what? I missed out and I was like, oh, I can't go, I'm missing it out. And the kiddie screaming in the background, you know. But I didn't just pray at home. Okay, so there's that... Yeah, we need to respond. But the interesting thing, what did I want to tell you about the women now? Oh, I lost my thought. So I keep telling them, it's great, we're going with a study now, but it's irrelevant whether you week one or I'm week 10. That's not the point, because it's not about the Bible study. The focus is for you to faithfully come daily. And so many, they, you know, for whatever reason, they started later or they fall behind or whatever, and then the next message I get is just, you know, I've fallen behind and I've stopped. And I'm like, but don't do that. Because I told you it's not about that. It's about you being faithful where you are. And I had to learn that in my own life, where I stopped for a very long time not interceding because, oh, I can't be at the meeting. You don't have to be at the meeting to intercede, you know. And I want to encourage you, be faithful in that daily surrender. Your context It doesn't matter. It's our self-control and self-discipline that actually enables us. Now, unbelief, or second one, glorify God. So if we don't glory in God, who do we usually glory in? Ourselves, and that is pride. So just God against pride. And the interesting thing that this lady just actually mentioned through this study is a form of pride can be if I think this is too big for God to actually change or to have a hand in, that's a form of pride. If you think whatever is bigger than the living God. So just ask yourself, man, just be open to the Holy Spirit. He's faithful to reveal, to us what's going on in our hearts, and just see it for what it is and take it from there. But just God for pride that wants to come against that glorying in God himself. Now, the first two, I want you to know, the unbelief and pride, it can actually be removed by choice. Okay? I can actually choose to stop thinking, oh Lord, but are you really who you say you are? And come to a place where I'm like, great, whether it makes sense to me or not, I believe that you are who you say you are, and growing in that place. And the pride as well. We can come and we can actually, humble ourselves in the sight of God. Okay, so it's something where it's not through prayer and let me hope something happens. We can practically, play a part in that, to remove that stumbling block out of the way. Now, to be satisfied was an interesting one. That actually, the thing that comes or wants to come against satisfaction in God is anything, it's idolatry. Anything that actually takes the place of God, whether it's a person, it can be a thing, anything, your work, anything that's more important to you than God. And it was interesting, I had a conversation just before the service, just with a lady, and I mean, it's a different context, but the same challenge, but it's coming to that place of understanding, Lord, yes, even though I have a to-do list of 40 pages, I rather not even start that if I've not surrendered myself unto you today. Okay, now the fourth one was peace. Now this, if you have your Bibles here, quickly turn with me to Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, please. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. Philippians moved in my Bible. Okay, so the fourth one is we can enjoy the peace of God. Now let's quickly read Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. It says the following. This is also quite a well-known scripture. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance, and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount God over your hearts and minds in Christ. So basically, it's that in everything, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God, and God's peace, which transcends all understanding, will garrison, will protect and mount God over your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So what do you think is the thing that comes against peace, if you listen to that scripture? Let's quickly look at that scripture and then let's just reverse the meaning. Now, I know this is the word of God. This is just to illustrate. I'm not trying to change what God is saying, but let's read that. And I'm now pretty much going to paraphrase it, and I'm going to change the meaning to the opposite. So verse 6. So I will always be anxious in everything, in every circumstance, if I don't pray and make my request known to the Lord. And God's peace will elude me, and my mind and heart will be unprotected. Okay, so can you see that significant? It's prayerlessness that robs us of that peace. Now, it was really quite profound for me when I just changed the meaning of that scripture and go home and just go and sit and just read it again. And I've always known and understood prayer is important, but it's as if that thing just gave me a little, okay, so let's start praying, you know, in everything, whether it looks like a deep spiritual thing or whether it's just a very practical, natural thing that I'm faced with. So just ask yourself, just as a gauge, if you're not registering peace, you don't have to show me or answer me, but ask yourself, when last have you actually prayed about this? Okay? Are you actually continually making your requests known to God? It's incredible if you look at the promise, if we do, it says, but our minds and hearts will be guarded by His peace. You know, I don't necessarily know what His answer is going to be. It also says, you know, the fervent, effective prayer of the righteous. So that shows us that we can also just pray silly things or not pray effective. I don't know, you know, go back to Matthew and see how God taught the disciples to pray if you're not sure, you know, how to pray. But just start understanding that there's a key for peace. You know, prayerlessness is something that actually steals that peace. And I want to encourage you, just pray. And it's like conversation. Prayer is, you know, we will probably get a few definitions if we think of prayer, if I ask you to give one now. But see it as a conversation. What's a conversation? Listen, I'm going to bore Yaku to death if I just keep speaking the whole time. There's usually more than one person in the conversation. All of you know. I mean, you just want to like, you know, can a friend give me a missed call now? Oh, I have to go, you know, if somebody just doesn't keep quiet. I mean, ask yourself, are you actually just sitting in the presence of God, allowing Him to speak back to you? Because prayer is a conversation. It's not just a, yes, my little Tesco online shopping, and thank you very much, I'll have it tomorrow morning at 11. Okay, so just ask yourself, are you just stepping into that place? God says, come and reason with me. Come and have that interaction with me. Okay, and then the last one, to enjoy God's presence. The thing that comes against it often is just a religiousness. It's like a legalism. Okay, so if you like, it must look like this or sound like that. Otherwise, you know, it can't be God. Just ask yourself. I just think, Lord, I know there's structure, but You knew every morning. You work in new ways. And especially if God has answered my prayers or met a need in a certain way, what's our default? You go and ask in that way because that worked. You know, rather than understanding, Lord, You the healer, and I come to You again, even if I just call Your name, You'll meet me there. There's not a specific way that I have to do it. Okay, so ask yourself whether there's maybe a legalism that has entered in. Now, practical, what can we do? I think that I really want to encourage you just to go from that place to remember one thing. And I want to encourage you where you at, just to daily, to start having that expectation. And as you open your eyes, to say, listen, Lord, thank You. Thank You that You are my God. Thank You that You have gone ahead of me. Thank You. You know, and also just, you know, show me those around me that's got a desperate need for your life. And people, we have to, I don't know, sometimes we think it's La La Land. I mean, I had terrible news. Thursday, it would be 2 weeks ago, my cousin, that's actually my age, we grew up together on the farm, he committed suicide. And I tell you now, never mind the tragic loss and just, you know, it feels as if your heart is like ripped out and squashed, if you hear news like that, but I had such an overwhelming sense, yeah, just for the lost out there. And, you know, we carry on with our lives as if there is just nothing going on, you know, as if there's not a heaven and a hell. And there is. And I want to encourage you, as you train yourself up and become fit, to come to that place where you walk daily and acknowledging God being your God and your Lord and Savior, I encourage you just to extend your faith and to ask Him, Lord, who is that person that's in a desperate need for your presence today? Yeah, because we don't understand the urgency, and it's something that God is teaching me as well, and I want to encourage you. And I don't know, that's where all of us, we're religious about it. Listen, you can sit at your desk and the Holy Spirit can tell you to do whatever. Just come to that place where we, what did it say? Become more like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He said and did what the Father told him and showed him to say and do. And therefore, I want to encourage you, surrender yourself daily. And you'll start knowing, you'll start seeing and hearing what God the Father is doing. And that will be the thing that motivates you. And it's just incredible just to come to that place where you know, Lord, it's not in our hands. We can simply be stewards. We can simply be conduits of your Holy Spirit. And one last example that I just want to share before we pray. Emma, my little daughter with the crazy hair, she had a birthday the 1st of June. And usually I tell them, listen, your sibling is one of the guests of honor, you know, just to keep the peace in the house. So the sibling usually gets one friend, and then she could invite five friends. And I just had it. We were literally eight little girls around our dinner table. And I was just, you know, we had a treasure hunt and I basically just played a few games with the kids. But there's 3 mums that stayed behind. And I just set up a cake and some mineral water for them. But I literally greeted them when they came in, told them, there's your cake, help yourself. And the rest, I was just busy with the kids. There was no other interaction. I mean, every time when I came running like a crazy person past them, I'm like, anything hot to drink? And then I'll just carry on. But, you know, I didn't have proper conversation even. I was focusing on the kids. And none of them knows the Lord, or the one I've realized is a Buddhist. But in any case, all 3 of them afterwards, man, you knew they were just home. Usually after you had a party, like 2 days later, you get this random, thank you, it was nice, you know, that same like, great, it was a nice party that you send to everyone. There's not really heart in it. But, you know, it's good manners, but you know what I mean, it's just like a short and sweet. And I was just amazed just at them, their response, where they were like, wow, they probably sent me a text this long now. I don't know how many, you know, characters that is, but it was like a page full text terms. And that, it opened my eyes to understand the significance of people sensing the presence of God in your house as you open your house up to the community. Because we fellowship there, we invite God there to make our home His dwelling place, and His presence is there, not only for us, but for others that enter in. And I was just like, listen, I wanted to laugh because I cannot take one, you know, it wasn't I that like, oh yes, I presented the gospel the right way or something, you know. I ran past them and just told them, listen, tell me if you need something to drink. You know, it was so not planned or religious or whatever, yet I stood amazed at how people actually start sensing God through a simple act of us just inviting them into our homes. And from that place, I realized, okay, wow, Lord, now I'm at the place where I can pray. Give me that one word that carries the seed of salvation for those 3, and I can pray that they humbly accept it. So I want to encourage you, just as you just walk with God, just for your own personal relationship, just have that expectation for those individuals that you'll start just opening your eyes to, that's around you, that's pretty much He's pressing on your heart, so that you can just stand in the gap for them. Because people, the only eternal life that we can have is offered by Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ in God. There is no other way. So, that's my message for the morning. Let's pray. Get up. Father God, we thank you just for this awesome privilege that we can have to meet freely in your presence in this country, Lord, and we thank you for that. It's a gift, Lord. It's not like that everywhere, and yeah, we just honor you, Lord God. We thank you that you are who you say you are, Lord, whether we understand it or not. We thank you that your word is the truth, Lord, that your word has got the power to bring forth life. Thank you that the word that you give, Lord, that you send out, it fulfills itself. It cannot return to you void. And I just thank you that I can just extend my faith for every word that has been spoken into hearts today, Lord God, that you will, that seed will come to fruition. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, where I just pray just for an activation even of just each one of us today in this place to just understand. Thank you how you've shown me, Lord, to walk faithfully as an individual being part of the body of Christ. But it starts with me, Lord God. And I just pray just for that awareness of just us walking in self-discipline and just us walking and then coming together as body. And I just pray 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7 over each one of us. For this reason, I remind us to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in us through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, it gives us love, and it gives us self-discipline. Father, and I thank you today in this place that we can extend our faith for each other, Lord, that as we stand up and walk, that it doesn't have to be fearful, timid, not uncertain, but as we stand up and acknowledge, Lord, that we're walking with you, that it's in a walk that where you enable us through your power, Father. It's a walk where we understand your love, Lord God, and thank you that your perfect love casts out all fear, and thank you that it's a walk, Father, where we can walk in self-discipline, whether we feel strong or not, Lord. It's a promise that you give us, and we thank you for that. I pray may you be glorified through each one of our walks, Lord. I thank you that you see our hearts. I thank you that you know our hearts. And ultimately, Father, I pray, may you be glorified through each one of us as we go and just live, Lord God, life as you've called us to do. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thanks, Louise. If you could please stand with me this afternoon. Thanks very much, Louise, for the word. Can I have one or two of the band just to play while we minister, please? It's really, appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, I just want us to pray through one or two specific things. So really, you know, word and season for, I believe, most of us. And yeah, let's just trust God to respond to that. If you could, let's just pray. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Louise. It was the messenger this morning, Lord, and we receive what you want to minister to us, God. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for every seed of your word that is planted, and we trust that it is planted in good soil this morning, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you that we can look to you, Lord, as our ultimate and only source of life, God. There's no one else, Lord. Even as the disciples and many of Jesus' followers were offended with stuff that he said, Lord. And Jesus said, you said to them, many left and didn't follow him anymore. But and you asked us, the 12, you asked, Lord, do you also want to leave? And Peter said, Lord, where shall we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. God, and we want to proclaim the same, Lord. We don't have anywhere else to go, Father, because you have the words of life. No one else, Lord. You are our source of life. Thank you that we can draw near to you through the blood of your Son. Thank you that you have demonstrated your love for us and your acceptance of us just as we are by paying by the blood of Jesus, giving your Son for us while we were still your enemies, while we were still sinners, God. You paid that price. And as every eye is closed in this place, and if you are in this place and you know that you have not yet accepted that gift of salvation, you know that where you're at now, maybe you've had some kind of relationship with God in the past, But where you're at now, something is amiss, and you need to something must change for you to hear God's voice, for you to walk in a real relationship with Him. And I've got great news for you that He loves you so much. He's paid the highest price for you. And this morning, I just see a picture of Him waiting with open arms for you to return and draw near to Him, to receive the gift of salvation, to receive the fact that Christ has died for your sin, and to acknowledge Him as Lord and as Savior, to lay down your life and to follow Him. If that's your desire this morning, while every eye is closed, I want you just to indicate to me with your hand. We'd love to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody like that? Okay. And I also feel if there's a few things that I feel the Lord wants to address this morning from the Word. And firstly, if you have frustrations that you're wrestling with, and you have maybe even some offense or something that's kind of just bugging you, or something that you're wrestling with and you're kind of doing it in your own strength. And I just feel it's really just going to be critical for each of us this morning to just yield those things to God. Just, oh Lord, I repent of not bringing this to before You earlier. And maybe I've talked to friends, but I haven't brought this to You. And I'm maybe offended with somebody in church or somebody out there or at work. Or I'm wrestling with the situation, but I haven't brought it to You. I haven't surrendered to You. If that's you this morning, well, nobody's watching. I just want you to lift your hand and just to, in your heart, just to bring that thing before God. That He can take that burden off your shoulder. I mean, if there's anybody, okay. Yeah, just bring that thing. And maybe just take a moment and just and give it to God. Say, Lord, here it is. Lord, I trust that You would deal with this thing. If you need to forgive somebody, take the boldness to do that now. If you need to deal with the situation, trust God to give you the boldness to finish, to bring restoration in the relationship as well. Father, we bring these before You, and we open our hearts now, Father. We open our hearts for You to come and bring restoration. But firstly, Lord, we repent, Lord, of not bringing this stuff before You earlier, God. And we want to lay down our burdens, Lord. We want to cast our cares upon You, Jesus. And we want to sit at the cross and receive health and receive life and receive freedom from these bondages and these burdens, God, in Jesus' name. So we choose this morning to cast our cares upon You, Lord Jesus, because You care for us. And we thank You, Lord, that you are the one that unburdens us, Lord. Right now we command every burden to lift, every yoke to lift that is not of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Every chain is broken in the name of Jesus. Every thing that is binding us to our past, if there's unforgiveness this morning, Lord, I thank You for grace for us to forgive as we have been forgiven, to forgive, God, in Jesus' name. And if you this morning, you know this morning that you need to tap into that source every day. You need to daily come as you are. You haven't been doing that. You've maybe been struggling through some things. And you need to tap into that source of life this morning. Also, let's just raise our hands and we can pray together. Father, we're just going to acknowledge, Lord, You are the only source of life, God. And this morning, we come to You and say, Lord, we look to You for that fresh water. There's no one else, God. There's no one else that can restore our soul. There's no one else that can restore our joy. There's no one else that can take our burdens, Father. We look to You, Lord, as our source. God, we repent when we've looked to other things and relationships and we've sat on our own and just wallowed in it, God. And this morning we humbly come, God, and say, Lord, You are the only source of life, God. We choose to drink from the living water this morning. We choose to drink from the well of salvation. We choose to draw near, Lord. And I thank You that we right now, that You birth in us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, God. A hunger and a thirst for You, God. That we would daily drink, Lord, from the wellsprings of salvation. Daily refresh ourselves, Lord, in Your presence and in Your Word, God, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father. Just as we continue to pray, I just had the picture earlier. I was this morning running around at the other service, and I was very hot, and I was very thirsty. I didn't have any breakfast or anything. And somebody brought me a cold ice water, cup of ice water, and it It was such a blessing, but I got so distracted. I just put it down and I didn't even drink it. And I just had a picture earlier that there's many of us like that here, that you're so thirsty and you're so in need of refreshment in the presence of God, but you don't go there. You're sitting next to the river, but you're not drinking. So let's just bring it before God. Lord, if that's you this morning, I'll just lift your hand to God and allow Him to refresh you. Amen. Father, we repent that we know that you are our source, God. We know that you have the waters of living waters, God. But somehow we don't drink, Lord. Somehow we keep back, we stay back. Maybe it's guilt, maybe it's something else, maybe it's just busyness, maybe we get distracted. We repent of those things, God, in Jesus' name. And we choose to draw near to you, to drink, Lord. Thank you that there's no limit. Thank you that we can drink as much as we need. And thank you that your Holy Spirit will be in us a fountain of living water, springing up and flowing from our innermost being, Lord, to impact those around us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Yeah, and as every eyes close, as we finish, I just feel that if there's anybody here this morning and you've reached that point, as Louise was saying, where there's, you don't even see the tunnel. You don't even not to mention the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't even see the tunnel. There's just no hope in your heart. I believe God wants to restore hope this morning. He wants to renew hope. He wants to bring a hope that is an anchor for the soul. And every eye is closed now, please. If that's you this morning, just indicate to God, I believe He wants to impart to you hope this morning. Amen. Father, I thank you that you give hope when there's none. I thank you that when we lift our eyes to you, Jesus, that you give us new hope, God. And right now, you see every heart, Lord, and you see every soul. You see every person. You know them so intimately, Lord. And this, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cancel hopelessness. And I thank you, Lord, by your Spirit that you impart hope right now in Jesus' name. Hope in you, God. Hope in your faithfulness. Hope in your everlasting arms, Lord. Hope in your love, God, that covers us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you draw us near. I just see a picture of just as the hen gathers the chicks under her wings, Lord, you draw us under your wings, God. Into the safe place, God. In Jesus' name. And I thank you that, as your scripture says, that hope is an anchor for the soul. It anchors us, Lord. When the times are rough, when we're in the storms of life, you anchor us, God, with that hope, God, in the name of Jesus. Right now, Lord, I thank you restore hope, Lord. Thank you that the love of God drives out every fear, drives out every unbelief in Jesus' name, and restores hope in us, God. Hope in you, God, in your faithfulness, God, in Jesus' name.
I just want to share one last thing. Remember I said with pride, for instance, it's through our words that we can come and, Lord, I repent of pride. But with humbling, I want to encourage you, and that's what the Lord has been doing with me. We don't pray, Lord, make me humble. What does the word say? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will come and lift you up. And I just want to encourage you. It's not because we have to go on our knees or because you want to lie flat or you want to do this or you want to do that. But that humbling, it's actually an action. And just when you feel you actually, the Lord is telling you to humble yourself in His sight, I just want to encourage you to respond, you know, by doing an action. Because in that place, it's as if you're just showing, listen, Lord, I am humbling myself in your sight. And it's from that, it's not just in word. And from that place, He comes and He lifts us up. Yeah, and just if you're in your, you know, at home, in your inner room, I want to encourage you, as you humble, don't pray, Lord, make me humble. Physically act upon that, humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord. And in that place, He comes and He lifts us up. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah. So I want to ask that if you need prayer and if you've responded now as we've prayed to any of those specific things, I want to ask you to do that, to humble yourself and to come to the front just to acknowledge, God, I need you. Amen. You are my source of life. You are the one with the answers. You are the one with the rivers of, you are the one with the water of life. So if that's you this morning, please take a boldness and to come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Otherwise, while we're praying for people in the front, if you want to join us for some refreshments, it'll just be just outside. But I want to really encourage you. If you need prayer, if you need to respond to the word, if you need to humble yourself or make a stand, please join us in the front. We'll have to minister to you. But I'm just going to pray now and close the service, okay? Father, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your presence. Such a privilege, God, that we can spend this time in your presence, Lord. There's no better place. I'd rather spend one day, Lord, in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, Lord. One day in your courts is better, Lord. And we don't take it for granted, Father. We thank you for your precious presence, Lord. We thank you for your word that is alive and powerful. And we thank you that not one of us will leave here unchanged, Lord, because we've been in your presence. And we are transformed, Lord. We are changed in your presence. So we pray a seal by the blood of Jesus over every word and over every seed. Thank you for 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit in our lives to the glory of your name, God. And thank you that as we go from this place, thank you that we are salt and light, that we are salt and light wherever we go. And we thank you, Lord, for opportunities to impart life, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you for that discipline drawing near this week, Lord, to daily surrender. And it will grow into a lifestyle, Father, of daily surrender, of daily drawing near, God, in Jesus' name. We pray your blessing on every person here. Blessing as we come in, blessing as we go out. And we thank you for your grace that abounds toward us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, please take boldness to come to the front for prayer. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your patience. And please join us for some refreshments outside. But if you need prayer, please join me now. And I really trust there's a grace to deal with these things. Amen. So please come to the front. God bless you.